AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Well, the next person is not going to be a real surprise to you because she was hosting a show yesterday right after mine with Robert Pilot and crew on Native Roots Radio. She is the exceptional representative from District 4A, which is Moorhead. It's Representative Heather Keeler. She's kind enough to join us today to talk with us as Democrat of the Day. Representative, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. I'm glad it worked out.
I'm glad it worked out, too. Pilot gets you all the time. He's so lucky. You and Mary Kanish, you guys go up there and join him all the time. I would like them to come by my show occasionally.
Well, I think it helped that Robert asked early on, and then, you know, he's got a good way of keeping us hooked. But it's always fun to get on his show, that's for sure.
Robert definitely has a way of, oh, so you're going to do it again then? And you're like, oh, yes, I can do this again. You were fantastic last night, by the way. I really did enjoy that. It's my privilege to lead into that show because, as I tell Robert all the time, I said, I mean, this is radio you don't hear anywhere else. I mean, it truly is unique. It is important. Ogema does this great newscast. And I just, it is truly a wonderful thing. And you sounded fantastic last night.
Oh, thanks. You know, I agree. It's a really amazing space to talk about Indigenous issues. You know, not just political, but just in the movement that we're doing. Because, like, so often, we don't see people who look like us, but we also don't hear messaging or, you know, have these radio stations that really focus on the things that matter the most to us. And so I love that they have that opportunity. And I really love that it stemmed out of the work down at Standing Rock and making sure that, you know, we give a good voice to the entire story.
You have, let's start with that story. I mean, to tell the truth, I was stunned myself, but I think as a lot of white people are, you are kind of stunned when you find out some of the truths out there. That the Indigenous women and the way that they've been treated and maligned in our culture and ignored when there has been serious problems. There have been quite a few people that have stood up and been on the forefront of this issue. We finally are starting to get some change here, which is good. And I got to give you a lot of credit because you and the rest of the Indigenous coalition in the Minnesota House and the Senate, they've been fighting to basically try to make these changes. And thankfully, we are starting to get some changes and getting away from the old standards.
Yeah, you know, and I think this is an example of why representation matters in these seats. You know, as we serve as state legislators, I think we work most effectively when we actually represent the community of the state. And now that we have a lieutenant governor, Mary Kunish is in the Senate, there's two of us in the House, you know, we're at the tables to have conversations to raise these issues, because I believe that a lot of people are similar to you, that there are things that people just don't know. We've been talking about it a lot in Indian country, but that doesn't mean that it's resonated or hit mainstream or conversations in other areas. And so it really goes back to, you know, we talked about it last night, but representation in these seats absolutely matters. And we do better for the entire state when we reflect our population.
One of the things I love about politics is it's local. By the way, I want to give you credit because I saw a band, the Concordia band from Moorhead was down at Hopkins, and the college band was down there. It was one of the best college bands I've ever heard in my life. They're fantastic. That's a have in the district.
Yeah, you know, our district is amazing. I think Moorhead is one of those communities that the state of Minnesota kind of overlooks. We're very beautiful in so many ways. And our university systems, you know, we have a private school, we have MSUM, and we have a community college there. So as far as higher education goes, and the amazing students that we have participating in school and community, it's so wonderful. And I wish that more people would see the benefit and the beauty of my community as they're looking to maybe venture out into other communities in the state.
Oh, Moorhead is delightful. I mean, absolutely delightful. As a matter of fact, I like it a little bit better than the other side of the river, if you like me. The truth. I mean, nothing against Fargo. It's nice enough and all, but I like Moorhead better.
I agree. I do, too. You know, we're also the home of the original Dilly Bar. I don't know that that's something that a lot of people know. But we have, you know, we have one of the very first Dairy Queens, actually, in Moorhead.
Really?
And so it just shows, like, we have this really unique livability in Moorhead that feels more small town. And we're just very communal and very wonderful together.
Committees you're on here. Let's start with higher education and the education policy committees. We talked about Concordia up there. Talk a little bit about that perspective. What are you bringing in there, and what are some of the things you got done here the last year towards a higher education and education overall?
Yeah, you know, one of the things I love is being able to sit at tables that I bring lived experience to. So serving on higher ed, I actually made it onto the conference committee last year, which was wonderful to be able to have a voice because in my previous work, I worked as an Indian education liaison serving students grades 7 through 12. And one of the biggest things I did in that role was college and career readiness. So I took Indigenous students out to many campuses and did college visits. And then I moved to a director position at NDSU for multicultural recruitment. And so I've known that area. I've known higher ed through a really unique lens. And it's nice to be able to ask questions and kind of comb through policy that comes through our committee with that lens. But one of the things we did last year was we increased and implemented the grants and scholarship programs through the Increased Teachers of Color and Indigenous Teachers Act, again, to increase the likelihood that teachers reflect their students in classrooms as well.
Well, and that's such an important thing. There have been some great studies out there that if kids are in a classroom where they feel as if the teacher represents them, it gives them better grades. They're better learners. It's overall, it's a win-win. And plus the fact that just getting people into teaching is a noble and a great career. So this is an easy layup, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's so hard. You know, and I guess I wanted to take the time while we're like publicly speaking, our teachers have done an amazing job carrying our next generation through this pandemic and through all of the pain that we've been feeling in the last 2 years. And so I think it's an area that goes kind of overseen. And I know that our teachers are really, really, really struggling. And that means teachers are leaving this field altogether. And so we're really trying to be thoughtful in how we support them, but also how we just provide more professionals into that field. I say a lot. I have my high school diploma, an associate's, a bachelor's, and a master's, and I've never had an Indigenous student or teacher or professor in any of my classes.
Wow.
Ever.
Wow.
That experience.
My son is at the U, and he has a professor who's African American. And one of the first things she had asked is, am I the first African American teacher for you? And my son, as well as pretty much everyone else in the class, raised their hands and said, yes. It's not. It's one of those things where, when you realize that discrepancy, and regardless of what school you're in, it just doesn't represent the world that we live in today. You know, encouraging minority teaching is something that's going to be better for all schools. I mean, the fact that it's not just something that you hear about and you don't see. It's the fact that there's every day is this school represents the community that it serves, and I think that that's so important.
It is so important, and it's so important to all students. You're so right. Like, it is not having teachers who look like me in a classroom wouldn't just benefit me. Mm-hmm. You know, that benefits all of the students, and you learn from different people, and different backgrounds bring different lenses to teaching and different conversations and real-life experiences that I think matter to all students. So we'll continue to fight for that. We'll continue to talk about that, as well as find supports for our special education teachers. That's the other area that I've done a lot of work in, learning the deficits that we have there and the federal impact with like all the paperwork that special education teachers have to do. We're also losing teachers in that field as well. And so that's really related to higher education because we have to make that pathway more feasible and more attainable and look more appealing to individuals so that we can have really quality level teachers in our classrooms.
Representative Heather Keeler is joining us, Democrat of the Day 4A up Moorhead area. You're in your first term, but you have a very impressive committee list, and I want to talk about one that affects us all, but also get your perspective from Moorhead, the Preventing Homelessness Division. You're the vice chair of that committee. It is a chronic problem in this country and in every district. Talk a little bit about how are you seeing it up in Moorhead there, and how have you been able to help fight this?
Yeah, well, first I have to give leadership a shout out for even creating this committee in the House. It's something that we've talked about for a long time that we know is not, homelessness is not just a metro area issue. We deal with it in greater Minnesota. It's not just you know, increased because of COVID. Like, we've been having homelessness issues for a very, very, very long time. And so I think it's nice because we're gathering data. You know, last session, we were able to implement a task force that is actually looking at shelters, because one of the first things we hear is that people don't always feel safe or comfortable going to a shelter. And we want to know why. And we want to know what areas we can fix and address without putting our shelters out of business. And so just being able to look at some of that data, but also we know that we're putting in big asks for greater Minnesota shelter support. How do we get more shelters in greater Minnesota? Because we know homelessness happens in greater Minnesota, but without shelters or supports in those communities, what ends up happening is they funnel into the metro area and utilize those services. And so we're just trying to be more strategic. I think that's what I love the most about working alongside Chair Gomez. You know, she represents Minneapolis, and I represent greater border city Minnesota. And so together, we really come to the table like trying to serve and understand the entire state the best that we can. But it is a huge mountain that we're trying to address. And the best that we can do is just move it pebble by pebble.
I think one of the things you touched on there, which is so important, is the need for services and facilities in outstate Minnesota. I worked in Bemidji for a while, a long time ago, and was very shocked to hear that that school was making, you know, accommodations for the numerous homeless kids they had attending the school. And you're thinking, we're in Bemidji, really? And yeah, it's, it is everywhere. And as you said, the problem is that the facilities and the treatment, you know, or not, maybe not treatment centers per se, because that implies something else, but the shelters and the services that are needed by the homeless community to help them get back up and get, you know, into maybe a safer environment, that they just don't exist in these small towns, in these rural communities. And it's nice to see someone finally addressing that and understanding that, you know, it's going to be better if we can serve these people in the district where they're at.
Yeah, and it keeps them in their home communities. You know, that's what we want. We want greater Minnesota to continue to thrive. We want our communities to continue to grow and have economic opportunities there for individuals. And so if we're helping our community members get back on their feet, we would love to be able to do that in their own community, or at least near their own community. And I think it's an area that we really have a lot of work to do in. But I do think that the more that we learn about it, and the more that we address it, and the more that we collect the actual data on it, the more accurate story we get, so that we can actually provide supports that help.
Mm-hmm. We've got the new session starting off here. Give me one or two things I hear that you want to champion for either the state or for 4A specifically.
Yeah, well, the one thing that I want to champion for sure is Indigenous Peoples Day, making that a state-recognized holiday.
Amen.
This is actually like the story, you know, of my movement. Was I was a Native American liaison that really wanted to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day in my school. We were told no by my superintendent, that we only followed, you know, city recognized holidays. So I got on the Human Rights Commission and worked to pass Indigenous Peoples Day in the city of Moorhead. And so it kind of is an obvious next step for me, but also I just think it is so, so important for us to continue to understand, recognize, and respect the Indigenous population here in the state of Minnesota. We have 11 sovereign nations, and we sit on 100% treaty ceded territory. So it's time. And I really hope we can get this through. This is not a partisan issue. This is a people respect issue. And so that would be my biggest effort and championing this year.
You know, I'll come at it from the other angle of it. I lived in Rhode Island for a while, which is all Italians. And so Columbus Day out there is kind of like St. Patrick's Day. It becomes like an Italian national holiday. And yet out there, you even in that environment, they don't teach you a dang thing about Columbus. That's why he got on some ships and came over. And when you discover the real truth, I'll tell you right now, I'm going to fight to the end to make sure that Columbus statue never goes back up at the state capitol. That is just an atrocity, and that should not happen. It is quite literally the least we can do for the wrongs and the injustices to the Indigenous community to have a day where we all stop and we recognize, wow, this was not, you know, a good outcome for what happened to the Indigenous people. We can start correcting that by at least learning about it. I think it's a great idea, and it's long, long overdue, especially for Minnesota.
Yeah, you know, I think that there's an element of just owning and recognizing the history and moving forward. versus trying to pretend like the history never happened. And that's where we get stuck. Like, it is amazing how much pushback we get just trying to do this, to recognize in a really respectful way. You know, we're not trying to say that other people were harmful. We're really just trying to ask the state to take a day to recognize and understand the land that we're on and the people who serve this land for many generations.
Oh, yeah. Mary Kiffmeyer's a peach. I said it. You didn't. I said it. I will say it. I will say it all. Oh, Mary. Stop it. Oh, she's got a problem. She's in a district with a fellow Republican. That will be fun. All right. So that aside, we got an election coming up here. Your district didn't change that much, did it, on the new map?
No, I think it kind of did what we thought it was going to do. You know, we knew we had to shrink because of our numbers.
Yeah.
You know, we're kind of a blue dot in a red sea out there. And so, yeah, I mean, we continue to run a campaign that really is just talking about the issues that we want to address, and then also hopefully share the message of potential generational leaders down the road, so that they can see, again, people who are in these seats doing this work to really represent the entire state. So I'm not as worried about my part of the map, but I do know that today is a really tense day, and a lot of us are kind of calculating what our next moves are. And I'm here to really help the team, because I believe that we're here collectively as a team together to do the work. And so I'm really ready to step up and help my team.
Well, first of all, you should go see a map. If you go look to the west and there's a little blue dot, that's Representative Keeler. So there you go. That's our little beacon out there on the left side of the state. I will say this coming up in the next hour. I've broken down some of the numbers.
Yeah.
You never rest on your laurels. You never take anything for granted. But this is not good news for the Minnesota GOP. I'll go through all the numbers in the next hour. I'll tell you what. I'd be the House, I think, is going to be very difficult for them to pick up from getting from this point forward. I'll get to that. But I'm feeling really good, and we need to keep, as you hear Representative Keeler here talk about all the things she's been doing, we need to keep her in St. Paul. For God's sakes, we need to keep her in St. Paul. So I want to head over to what is your website?
So it's Heather 4 House. It's the number 4. Heather4House.com is where you can find our information. We keep things very basic and simple on that website, so things are easy to find, updated events that we're doing, how to donate, how to get involved and volunteer.
So here's what I want you to do. Go on out there, make a donation, but even more important, I want you to go up to 4A, to Moorhead. Stop by, get a dilly bar at the Dairy Queen, for goodness sakes. That's where they began. Or if you get lucky, find that Concordia band and go listen to a concert there. They're fantastic. But head on over there, go to 4A, door knock, volunteer, help out this summer. That's where we're going to win this, is in the summer months. So get up there and help out. Heather4House.com, Heather, H-E-A-T-H-E-R, the number 4, H-O-U-S-E.com. That's the website. I'll link to everything a little bit later on. Representative, you don't just have to come back to Robert Pilate's show. You can always come back to this show. By all means, please do.
I would love it.
All right. Thank you very much. Representative Heather Keeler is joining us once again. 4A Democrat of the Day. Let's take a break. Come back. Wrap up our number one when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.